listening to the Living Truth Church podcast. We pray you encounter God through this message. To find out more about our family, visit us online at livingtruth.church.
That the only sport where the defense has possession of the ball is baseball. Right? That's it. You're trying to think of something that's beyond that, aren't you? In the world of sports, the defense is the player or players whose primary responsibility is to prevent the opponent from advancing into their territory at any point. In other words, the goal of the defender is not necessarily to advance, but just solely try your best to stop the opponent from advancing. On the other hand, the offense is the action of attacking or engaging the opposition with the objective of moving forward or taking possession of a goal. There are certain sports, I've heard the one-liners of sports. One in particular that I thought of this week has become part of our operational language, such as the ball's in your court. Meaning it's time for you to make a decision, it's time for you to move forward, it's time for you to do something, because when the ball is in your court, it means that the ball is in your hand and you have an opportunity to go on the attack and win. Someone made a statement one time and said that a great defense is the best offense. That may be true in some sports, but I'm going to be focusing on the gospel today. So I want to go on record as saying that when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would like to turn it around and say that a great offense is the best defense when it comes to the gospel. I mentioned this to a couple of people last week, but I believe that too many Christians have been operating much too long in a defensive position. My back's against the wall. It seems that the enemy has me cornered. I'm hunkered down. And it seems like that I'm just hunkered down there hoping I can get through today without somebody tossing a hand grenade in my bunker and blowing me away. I need to tell somebody up in this place today that it was never the intended result of Jesus giving his life on the cross for us to just be defending ourselves in life. And I really feel like that Christianity has come to that place, because I hear it said too many times that he almost got me today, or if I can just make it till next Sunday, I'll be okay. If I can get with somebody that really knows him, it's going to be all right. When the intention of the gospel is that every one of us know him in such a measure that we really don't need anybody but me and him. Because when you add Jesus to me, I am the most powerful person in the world. Me alone, I'm not going to make it. But me and Jesus, we're going to. I know that's not good grammar, but it's okay. Me and Jesus are going to make it. Believe me, this morning when I tell you that Jesus hanging on that cross was in no way a defensive position. The offensive position that Jesus took when he died on the cross ripped a veil that no defensive action would have ever ripped. The offensive action propelled every one of us, or gave every one of us the opportunity to be propelled forward beyond that veil into a place called the Holy of Holies. So we no longer need a priest to stand in for us. Each person in this building today can walk boldly into the throne room of God and make your petitions known to him. We don't need to wait for Jesus to come into a service like this to have our answers to our questions. All I have to do is rise up and move forward, go beyond the veil, and ask him for myself. That's what the cross did. That's what the gospel is about. This offensive action that Jesus took caused the earth to shake. It caused graves to burst open. It caused the dead to live, and it created an avenue for the Spirit of Almighty God to be sent to live in people like you and me. Do you hear it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that you can be in an offensive position in Jesus Christ? Do you believe you can move forward? Do you believe that you don't always have to be up against a wall saying, heaven help us, all hell's broken loose? I think that we need to change our position, and somebody will be crying out, hell help us, all heaven's broken loose. Because that's the position offensively that we need to be in, knowing that heaven can be where we are. It's not all about the hell of life. That's twice in two Sundays. Blake and I have cussed a little bit. It's time for heaven to come down. The kingdom of God is to be set up on this earth. Hell was never intended to be set up on this earth. The enemy was not intended to be in charge. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that his head would be under our feet. And it's time that we walk on him for a little while instead of him walking on us. It's time for us to take the authority and the offensive position in Jesus Christ and move forward and take back what the enemy's taken from us. In the offensive position that Jesus took, he couldn't have taken, or he could have taken a defensive position. He could have called the angels down out of heaven to defend him. He could have stopped everything that was going on. But if I understand this right, he said, nobody can take my life. I offensively move forward and lay my life down. He wasn't defending himself to the death. He was moving into death so that I wouldn't have to defend myself against the enemy. Because of him dying on a cross, I don't defend myself. I just move forward in him. It's in him I live. It's in him I move. It's in him I have my being. And without him, I'm nothing. But with him, all things are possible. That's the offense that I want to take today. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but offensively is a moving forward position, or I can be offended by something or somebody. That offense is spelled the same way. But we need to understand that we're not talking about words that sound the same. We're talking about a Jesus that did what it took that I might have life and have it more abundantly. In this offensive position, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Many of you may have possibly heard me say this before. I know I've said it from the pulpit. In my early years as a Christian, I saw this scripture as hell bombarding the church all the time. The gates of hell shall not prevail. It's not going to win. It's just coming at us all the time. They're not going to win, but he's coming at me all the time. It's the way I believed it. But I'm telling you this morning, we, as a young Christian, or the position or place I was, or church I was in, or denomination I was connected with, I don't know what it was, but it was like I was always holding my arms up and defending myself, and came away with all the wounds and the things that happened to me in my defensive position. But I was hoping that somehow my walls of legalism could withstand hell's forceful onslaught. But how wrong I was. First of all, the word church doesn't even refer to a building anyway. It doesn't refer to a denomination. It doesn't refer to anything like that. What it refers to is a people who understand their identity in Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to Peter in Matthew 16 and 18, and he basically said, "You are Petros. You are a piece of the rock. You're a piece of a bigger rock. And upon this Petra, that bigger rock, I'm going to build my church." We were not built on some soft foundation. We were built on something that's strong. And we were built on, and the thing that the church needs to be built on right now is the revelation of the true identity of who he is, and upon the revelation of the true identity of who we are. We are children of God. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're priests. We are vessels that are supposed to inhabit his presence, and we're supposed to be built on something solid. And if we will get to that place, the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, the spiritual strongholds of ignorance and blindness, the very forces of darkness itself does not have a defense strong enough to hold back the force of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the church. Doesn't have it. But what I need to understand is, I don't stand around with my hands held up of the onslaught of the enemy, but I feel like that I need to move forward into the enemy's territory and take the things that belong to God. Set up my kingdom right in the midst of the hell of this world. Set up the kingdom of God in the midst of the sinful world we live in. Set it up in the middle of the blindness and the ignorance and the misunderstandings of Jesus. Set it up there. Pastor Blake spoke last week about the gospel and what we're supposed to be in that. We are a moving entity. The gospel of Jesus Christ is something we've been commissioned to do. It's something we're supposed to be as the church. When I discovered who Jesus really was the same day that I discovered who I really am. I am no longer like that reed blown in every direction in the wind, in every wind that comes along. Now I'm a piece of that solid rock, steadfast, unmovable, secure in my identity, secure in the image that is revealed through him. And now the resistance of the enemy has no defense strong enough to hold back the onslaught that I have against him. It doesn't take a group of people this big to move into the enemy's territory. It just takes somebody like me that believes that Jesus is, and he's a rewarder of them that seek after him. And as long as I'm seeking after him and moving forward in him, I can take back any territory that I need to take back through his power. Are y'all with me? Now, as far as the gospel, and as far as all that I've said, what this really means is that when we share the gospel with others, because of our identity and our position in Christ, the position of the enemy has no power whatsoever to keep the people that we're sharing the gospel with ignorant or deceived about him and their ability to have an identity in him. When we were given the commission to go into the whole world, we were given an authority to take the offensive authority of Jesus Christ forward with no opposition strong enough to stop us. And I think the church for far too long has held the gospel in four walls and just kept it to a monopoly type thing where I'm just trying to get me and mine into heaven and that's all. If I can make it through this day and something happens to me, I can go to heaven, everything's going to be all right. We need to change that. We need to look at that different and realize that this body has come into this building today to simply equip ourselves to walk out of here and share the gospel with some hurting world that we're living in. And if you need fixing, you can get fixed today. Somebody said this is a salvation station. It is, but so is that out there when we walk into it. Amen. We take what we have to those that don't have it. So I come today by the authority of God to commission this group of people to move out of the defensive mode of get-by religion into an offensive relational lifestyle that automatically draws people to Jesus with no fear of the enemy's tactics and devices. I have no fear of the devil because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So when I walk out of here, I don't walk, you know, let me say this. It's pretty easy to live for him in here. Right? I can do good in here. I can worship. I try to smile more. My wife said this beard makes it worse. It makes it look like I'm frowning all the time. I can be happy. Are you with me? I can have joy even through sadness. All that stuff's easy in here. But what I need when I walk out of here is an understanding of who I am. Because when I walk out of here and I walk into the enemy's territory, then I need to know who I am, know who he is, and realize, not because of me, but because of him, how great I am, how powerful I am, how much authority I carry. And all that comes through him. But I have him, so I have that. When I was young, and before I knew God, I had, this is a cliche, I guess, but I sort of run with some guys that, like, at the drop of a hat, that's the cliche, the drop of a hat, we wanted to fight. I didn't like fighting, but people I hung around with liked to fight, so we fought. And one of these friends that I had, I'll never forget him. I haven't seen him in years. He doesn't come to any class reunions or anything. His name was David Samelka. Really good friend of mine. I'll never forget him because we were walking down the hall in high school one day. And we did this kind of stuff all the time, but he was obviously having a bad day. And I was walking a little behind him, and some of you may have done this, but he's walking, and I just reach up and sort of catch his foot with my foot, and it caused his foot to go behind his other foot, and he tripped and fell in the hallway. And having a bad day, so he invited me outside. And I went, you know, I had to go. You know, you can't turn down an invitation like that when you're supposed to be tough. So I went outside with him. He wasn't wasn't as big as me, and I knew I could take him, or thought I could. But he hit me first. I want y'all to know that, okay? He hit me first. But what went wrong here is when I took the offense, we were standing, he was backed up against a brick wall. And I knew if I hit him right in the mouth, with his head against the wall, I'd just take him down. I knew that. The problem with that was he knew that. And when I swung at him, he just dropped straight down. And I hit that brick wall with all force. And it was bad of what it did to me. And I thought at that point in my life, I thought, you know, it might be better if you just defend yourself all the time and not be offensive. Because that was offensive to me, what happened to me. But I did realize through life, and especially when I came to God, that even when you're backed against the wall, you have an opportunity to move and injure the opponent. So if there's anybody in the building this morning that has taken a place of defense, and you feel like that the enemy's attacked so much, then your back's against the wall and you don't know what else to do, and you're wondering when it's going to end and wondering what's going to change and all that stuff, I want us to get out of this defensive get-by mode and start living the way the gospel has designed us to live. The enemy has presented himself as an offensive entity, but he's not. He doesn't have that authority. And it's time that we identify ourselves and identify him and who he is, and it's time to go on the attack and take back what he's taken, or to take what is deserved, and start living with a kingdom mindset as the kings and priests and what God has appointed us to be. And I guess the ball's in your court. I can't make anybody do it. You know, we were singing this song, Jesus, and I thought, Jesus, he died for us. What have I done for him? And I immediately thought of that scripture that said, Paul was speaking, he said, this is probably King James, but I beseech you therefore, brethren. That word beseech means to urgently and fervently ask. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, Jesus presented himself and died for us. He's only expecting us to present ourselves and live for him. So present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? It's the reasonable thing to do. Stand with me. This is maybe a sort of odd invitation, but if you're here this morning and you feel like that you've been in a defensive mode, like your back's against the wall, you just don't know what's next, don't know what to do. If you feel like you're just defending yourself against an onslaught of the enemy, I want you to come forward. That might be a little uncomfortable, but I need you to do that. Anybody else just feel like that, whatever the situation is, that you've been attacked? Whatever. Are y'all telling me this is the only guy in the room? These are the only two guys in the room.
These are the only three people in the room. These are only five people in the room. I want y'all to keep coming until you just think about it and step out. If you feel like you've been fighting a fight, you need to move out because we're fixing to change teams. It doesn't matter what you've been fighting. I mean, you might be fighting your finances. You might be fighting your spouse. You might be fighting a loss of some sort. You might be fighting a physical situation. Doesn't matter. It's a fight. But, you know, what's really odd about this is when you're looking at the gospel side of this, even if you're sick, you don't just lay there and defend that till you're well. You attack that with His word and His authority. And when I pray for people, a lot of times I pray by the authority of the word of God and the power that's in the name of Jesus, I command this sickness to go. We have that authority. Are y'all with me? Do you believe that? Okay. You guys that are on the offensive team and you feel pretty strong about that, I want you to come line up behind these that have come. And we're going to pray, and you're going to lay hands on them. And in the middle of this prayer today, things are going to shift. It's going to shift, and it's going to turn around. The answers you've been searching for are going to be there. The health that you have been looking for is going to come. The financial issues you've been facing are going to go away. This is the power of the gospel. That doesn't mean that it's just going to happen automatically. There are things we're going to have to do in our lives. It's about an offensive stance. It's about a forward motion. Read in there where we put on the whole armor of God. You know that area? Put on the whole armor of God. But there's nothing. There's nothing for the backside. So we never just turn and run and say, I just can't handle it anymore. You stand and you face your enemy, you face your situation, and you move forward because He's given us every bit of armor to protect us in our forward motion in Him. We have it all. And the only defensive weapon is our faith, the shield of faith, defensive. But the rest of it, the sword, the word, peace, righteousness, all this stuff is added to us. And if we have all that stuff, then we can move forward and never fear the enemy taking us down. But it's going to take righteousness, peace. And it's all in the Holy Ghost. It's all in His Spirit. All that stuff comes in that. Are y'all ready? Come on, we all pray with me. God, we stand here today knowing full well that Your gospel is more than just a saving station. It's an area for all things to be taken care of, all needs met from every point of view, from every aspect of life. It's all taken through the gospel. And we present that gospel, which brings deliverance. It brings peace. It brings joy. It brings righteousness. It brings healing. It brings it all. And now we open ourselves and accept what You have for us as we switch from our defensive position today and we walk forward in our position in the gospel as heirs and joint heirs, sons and daughters of God Almighty. The kingdom of God in action. The power of God with purpose. The direction of God with duty. We're bound to do Your work, God. We're bound to follow You. We're bound to adhere to Your word and to use it for Your kingdom's sake. This is not that we might be lifted up, God, but that You might be lifted up. And we
lift you up. We come close to you, and you come close to us. We need you today, God, more than anything else in the world. But we want from this point forward, as a body, to be able to only move forward in you, never looking back, never worried about our past, never guilty of our forgiven sin, but moving in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Move into our hearts, God, today. Let your Spirit flood our souls. Let your power overcome us. Let your Word do a work in us. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. In Jesus' name. No other name. Jesus.
Thankful for what God is doing in your heart. If you would like to give towards revival being established in our region, or you have a testimony of how your life is being changed, please connect with us at livingtruth.church or send emails to livingtruthar@gmail.com.